justification. But how does the word strike you? Do you know we are what we are because of this word? We're what we are today because of our reformers, Martin Luther, John Calvin. The just shall live by faith. Those that were made right in the Lord Jesus Christ shall live by faith. Okay, what is justification? I believe you are going to go through some of these, what you call in theological term, ordo salutis, or order of salvation. Okay, order of salvation, there will be revelation, regeneration, then faith, justification, right? So we are not going through all this, all right? I believe you have Trinity and then justification, and then the next one will be sanctification. So I once attended a camp in, I think in the Baptist campsite in somewhere in Malaysia, whereby Stuart Olivet from England, he came and we dealt with Order Salutis, the Order of Salvation. But it was a very detailed study. What the Roman Catholics would believe, what the Anglicans would believe, what is Calvinism would believe. So it's all very, very heavy going. Okay? Well, if we study the book of Romans, we understand it will give us a good foundation or grounding of what our doctrines are. So if Romans from 1 to chapter 11, you'll find everything there. All right. Of course, 9, 10, 11 concerns the Jews. Okay. But what is justification? The meaning in the Hebrew is adi. Okay. To make righteous. In the New Testament, the Greek word is dikaio. Okay, or dikaiosune, to justify or to declare righteous or just. And particularly in a declarative or forensic sense, like in a court of law, right? The accused will stand there and then they will go, all right, a persecution, and then the plaintiff and whatever, they argue the case, then the judge say, hey, I don't see that way, all right? I pronounce that whatever the charges brought against him, I think there are flaws along the line, the evidences are not that solid, he is declared free from the charge. Not guilty. That's it. Right. So that is the word. Not guilty before God. So in theological or biblical term, justification is an act of God's free grace. All right. Remember, right, in the order of salvation is always God, because we are Calvinists. Right. And the sovereignty of God is our comfort. God orders everything. And the order of salvation, God is always there. The active force, we are the passive ones. All right. So, justification is God's free grace, an act by Him wherein He pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in His sight. Only for the righteousness of Christ imputed unto us, on that basis alone, right? And received by faith alone, okay? On the basis of Christ alone, faith alone. So you can hear part of the Reformation cry, right? By grace alone, through Christ alone, by faith alone, all right? So why must man be made right or righteous before God? There are some reasons and underlying factors we must consider. First of all, of our human predicament. We know God created man. We don't come from monkeys. We don't evolve or anything like that. No single cell, no nothing. All right? We came from God. God created man. The first man was perfect in Adam. God saw everything that He made was good. But in the creation of man, it was very good. Right? But, you know, we realize that Adam sinned, right? So Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the human predicament is that sin separates man from God. Right? As it is written, Romans 3:10-11, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. So the heart that is depraved will never seek after God. You and I know that. Before we came to know the Lord, we go our own way, we do our own thing. God is always far away from us. Our focus is whatever interests us. It may be a hobby, it may be a sport, it may be, you know, for the ladies, maybe dressmaking or flower planting or whatever you may have, right? We don't have time for God. But this morning I came down the lift, also this guy was coming with all the tennis rackets and all geared up. His interest, he said, church, forget about it. I got my tennis to go to. You see, what interests us? But no, that was it. We will not seek after God. We'll do our own thing. So the human predicament was that sin separates us from God. So that's why, on that basis. The second thing was the human attempt. Even if that person would say, hey, then I don't come from out of nothing. There must be a God. Somehow I would need to seek after God. I heard this one says there's heaven, there's incarnation, there's a higher power that's above us. There's heaven to go to. So how? So they were what? The human attempt. First, the human predicament. Secondly, the human attempt. To bridge that gap between God and man. We'll try to do it. How do they do? Passively, they say, hey, look, I'm a good guy, you know. I don't kill, I don't rob, I don't steal. If there's a heaven, sure, I will sure go to heaven. I don't cheat people. I live my own life. I don't care for anything. So passively, he lived his life and hoped that at the end of it all, he'll go to heaven. Have you heard that before? Yes. I knocked on doors when I was in Shalom, BB Church. I was knocking on Pastor Ri's door. One man told me that, hey, look, you come here. So what? I have my own life to live. I don't care. I mean, I live. I don't go and cheat. I don't go and lie. I don't go and harm anybody. I live my own life. I'm good enough for heaven. So don't have to tell me about heaven. And I told him about sin. Have you ever lied? Have you this? And so sin is sin. The slightest thing is sin. Doing an illegal U-turn is sin. You know that? Simple as that. Telling a lie is sin. As a Christian, it will trouble your heart until you make right with your colleague. Because you have lied. So, these are things to them that is no. As long as don't hurt anybody. You know, one word can hurt somebody. Right? So, that's it. So, passively, they think that by their good behavior, by being controlled in that sense, fine. The second one is, all right, and the human attempt is, one is passive living, I don't bother people, I'm so good, you know. Second one is active. Active by what? Good works. Right? And so, some of the religions would teach good works. We must do good works. Acts of charity. Some religion, you know, when they come to their festival, they will slaughter calves and cows and goats and then contribute towards the poor, give to charity and all that kind of thing. And so, in that way, actively, they want to build the bridge. They want to gain merit and acceptance before God by all the things I have done. So, if I stand before God, God say, what have you done for me? You know, I've done this, all these things. Right? Didn't the Bible say that? As you do it, and one of my children have done it to me. Of course, we are talking about Christians. That's not right. Concerning non-Christians, right? So, here we are. We have a human predicament. We have a human attempts to reach God. All our good works are but as filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6. Right? All our good works. Whatever we can do, but as filthy rags before God. Right? That's why Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we have faith and we believe in God. Why? Because I believe. Because I have done good works. I deserve it. No. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. So human effort, even to the ultimate, is extreme. Will never merit God's saving grace upon us, no matter what we do. There is no way we can bridge that gap. Right? Now, justification is a divine act of grace. The next point. Romans 5, 8 and 9 tells us that. But God commended His love towards us. That's from our text, alright? That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is that first step. Much more than being justified. Because when Christ died upon the cross, He atoned for our sins. He was made sin for us. He bore our sins. And by that, we are justified by His blood. Right? Because blood cleanses us from all sin. So by the shedding of His blood, He cleanses us from all sin. So John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the Lord Jesus Christ became the propitiation for our sins. Not for our sins only, but the sins of the whole world. Right? God reached that gap for man to reach Him. And that is the cross. Right? So that's why Christ is called the only mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. None can go to God but of Himself. God has to reach out to pull us up. Right? God has given us eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And from these verses, we understand that salvation is the free gift of God to sinful men. Justification is the free act of God's grace bestowed upon sinful men, whereby through Christ's atonement upon the cross, those who believe in Him are declared sinless in that Christ has paid for their sins. So you and I will we be judged for our sins? Never. As far as from the east is from the west, thus far is separate all our sins from us. We will be judged according to our works. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Not for our sins. Okay? So let us understand that. Okay? So that's why God says, God's word in 2 Corinthians 5:21, Apostle Paul says, For He, God, had made Him sin, to be sin for us, right? Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in or through Him, right? Through Christ Jesus, our Savior, we are wretched sinners and undone. Now we can stand justified right before God, okay? Because Christ is the justifier of him which believe, right? So, where then is boasting? It's excluded. By what law? Romans 3:27 tells us, no way, right? Boasting to the Jews, well, we have the law. We have Moses, right? We have the law of Moses. We have Abraham as our father, the father of faith, right? Nay, but by the law of faith. That is in Romans chapter 3, verse 27. So, no way. And here we know another truth. Faith is not the price of justification. Remember that. Right? But the means of appropriating the justification of God in our lives. Okay. What is justification in relation to works? Okay. The law opens up the way for you and I to see that we have sinned, right? True or not? If you jaywalk, you get fined. Yes, Singapore law. You have broken the law. Okay, so we know Singapore jaywalking, you break the law. Maybe you go elsewhere, it's not the law. So, right? Just like the young boy that was shot, 17-year-old boy that was shot, remember, in the States, right? And this one was supposed to be a citizen patrol man, he took his gun, he thought this boy was trying to attack him, he shot him first. But there is a law that allowed him to shoot first and talk later if he felt his life was threatened. But now the whole place is in an uproar, and even President Obama had to come in. I don't know how they're going to deal with it. He felt threatened as a citizen. He has the right to shoot first and ask questions later. So that's the law. But in Singapore, you try that. That's it. No way. So you carry firearm is death sentence, okay, legally. So the law applies. It tells us right, wrong, right, wrong. Okay? And so that divides. Okay? So the works of the law open the sinner's eyes to what? To sin. What is sin and what is not? Well, works and good deeds are commendable. We cannot say they are not good. Right? But we should not slight or forsake to do all these things. Okay? They follow justification. They never precede it. Okay? Right? Remember Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, it says what? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are his workmanship only after Christ Jesus, after we've been made right. And then we are to do good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. That is Ephesians 2:10. And very simply, James also says this, right? A man say, thou hast faith, I work, show me thy faith. Without thy works, I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe that. So does that mean the devil go to heaven? No way, right? So say, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. And so if we are Christians, the Lord says we are created as his workmanship unto good works. The others seeing your good works, in Peter it says, they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay? That's the way justification connects with work. We not by work you can attain it, but because you are justified, then your good works should follow. Okay? Not before. The second thing, what is the relationship of justification to regeneration? What is regeneration? Right. Regeneration imparts to the believer divine life. Okay? Right. That's why Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says what? And you had he, God, quickened, who were dead in sins and trespasses. Trespasses and sin. So we are dead. Can a dead man respond? No way. Right? We cannot until God brought grace in us. Alright. A very simple illustration. If a heart attack, a patient is rushed into A&E. Can he respond? He's gone. Right? Not like a footballer, huh? Mumba, whatever it is. He was dead for 78 minutes, they said. But how did they revive a person that has a heart attack? Positive, negative, boom. And then the electric shock causes the heart to beat again. So we are dead. Left to ourselves, we are all gone. We'll drop into hell. We'll suffer in eternity. But God quickened. So that is the regenerating work of faith. All right, to awaken us, to now make the heart beat anew. In what? Now in a spiritual sense now. That God's work of grace will be realized in our lives. That's what you call regeneration. Whereas justification made the believer righteous before God. Right? Because make the believer by faith to accept that Jesus truly died for me and he had taken away my sins. Now I have the new life. I will not stand condemned before God. I'm now accepted in the beloved. You see, and we can come freely before his throne of grace. Right? So this is the difference. Huh? Regeneration is the divine answer to spiritual death. That's what, in short. Right? That's why. Regeneration has to do with the change in the believer's heart. That's why it's made anew. And justification is how we stand before God. Right? That's why in 1 John chapter 2, he says, he's a propitiation. He's a sin covering for us. When God looks upon us and says, hey, sinner, drop to hell. But no. Huh? Christ's blood covers us. Right? Just like the sacrifice. The Old Testament, they have to sacrifice and the animal upon the altar for the sins of the people. And it's a sin covering. Okay? Now, that's the understanding. Okay? So here, what's the result of justification? I'm sorry, I'm not very used to, I must apologize, I'm not very used to preaching topical. I like very much to be self-contained in textual, all right? So some of you may be wondering why this pastor is going from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11 and jumping here, all right? But let me now just let you know, okay? Now, what's the result of being justified by God through Christ's atonement? Sinners are made right with God, for all our sins are forgiven, right? Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 5 to 8. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth or made right the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So we believe God justified us through Christ. That's what it means. Right? So that is the result of justification. We are counted righteous before God, where once we cannot face up to God. Okay? Second thing, we have peace with God. And that's how we come to our text. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have made that peace. God accepts us into his family. Right? And so we have that peace of God. Right? Secondly, we have the peace of God. How come? What's the difference between peace with God and peace of God? The peace with God is that we feel that now we belong to the family of God. We are no more at war. We are no more enemies of God. We are now on the Lord's side. The Lord has brought us into his family. And we have that peace, knowing that our names are written in the book of life. Right? And God will receive us back unto himself because our sins have been forgiven. Now, the peace of God, right? How we have that? The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples, remember, before his passion. From John 14 verse 27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These were the words he spoke to the disciples. John chapter 16 verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Okay? So amidst our troubled world, the times of uncertainties, we see economic woes everywhere. Even in Europe, things are not stable. Right? A national uprising in the Middle East, natural disasters, right? Pestilences, bird flu. Even in Singapore, we conducted exercises on this. Right, it is to preempt a lot of other things. Wars and rumors of war. North Korea were launched and all kinds of things are happening. Right, and then now they're going to aim where? South Asia, is it? They are aiming another direction. We don't want their missiles. They can keep it for themselves. But where can we find peace? Yet, you and I can sleep in comfort. Because like Apostle Paul, absent in the body, presence with the Lord. Do you have the Lord's peace with you? How many of us have troubled hearts today? I hope not. If you have the Lord, truly you have that peace. Peace that people can never understand. Right? Peace that your colleagues will look at you and say, hey, if I were you, I would just blow my top, I would do this and that. Say, never mind. You know? We are condescending, we are gracious, we are forgiving. It's a wonderful blessing to have the peace of God. we have hope in God, Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand by the grace of God and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Yes, how wonderful it is. We rejoice. Our future is with God, not upon this earth. This earth can give us 70, 80 years, 90 years. People project the next lot of people, the next generation will live to at least 105, 110. I know by that time, I don't know how many wheelchairs you have to go through now. Right? It's evident if you look around, we have an aging population. Right? The baby boomers are now in their 60s. I'm one of them. You know? And then we are going on. We are going on. Really. So, our hope is in God. And we rejoice in God. Right? Our hope is in God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory. Right? Rejoice not because the spirits obeyed you. You can cast out demons. Remember, the Lord sent out his group of disciples. They came back rejoicing. Demons obey us. You know, we can do all these signs and wonders. The Lord says what? Rejoice. Not in these things. These are temporal. Rejoice because our names are written in the book of life. Do you rejoice today? Yes. We shall see the Lord face to face. Right? So what rejoicing in his glorious presence, so shall we be all together with the Lord. Right? We rejoice in God. We hope in God. We rejoice. Come what may. Look at verse 2. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Pastor Wee, are you reading right? Yes. We glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience. Please, Pastor Wee, I don't want to go through all this. But the Christian life is a life of struggle. God cuts out our worldliness, gives us a new value in life, right? Lay up treasures in heaven, not upon the earth. Our focus is now different. Is our focus ever, has it ever changed since the day you received the Lord? It has to change, right? So that's important to us. Rejoice. Even if we go through tough times, the Lord is always with us, right? Rejoice in the faith he has given us, right? Through every trial and difficult situation. This world is not our home. We are just a passing through. Our treasures are all laid up where? Somewhere beyond the blue. Well, the glories of heaven, we can never bring anything. Right up there in heaven. Can you bring anything? What do you want to bring to heaven? Yourselves. Nothing that we have and hold in this world. Are we going to be transported there? Right? So it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 says, but as it is written, I had not seen nor ear heard, neither had entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that loved him. How wonderful it is. Right? That's why, what are our tribulation? Because we next have faith in God. Hope in God, rejoice in God, peace of God, peace with God. We have faith in God. Yes. Because God allowed it, we trust God. If God allowed this testing and struggles that I have to go through in life, I accept it. And I'm happy about it. I know of a young lady now working under very, very trying situation in life. Because her immediate superior just picked on her. Every single thing picked on her. I know those of you who work in your workplace, if you work under such a boss, you just feel like you want to throw up everything. Every day going to work is dragging your feet. Because you know now that you do this also wrong. Why can't you do this job first? You do that also wrong. Why can't you do this first? You see? So everything is being forked and you are being picked and nicked at. I tell you, life is difficult. But whatever it is, it's an opportunity that God allowed us to try our faith? Yes. Do we learn how to wait upon Him, or just straight off resign? I've heard of people who went from one job that was difficult right into the fire, the next job. And where do you want to go? Right? We thank God Singapore has a lot, employment is so easy. One job you don't want, you go to the next one. Right? That's not the way. Learn how to wait upon God. God allows us. We're impatient people. God tries our patience as well. And the thorn in the flesh is always good for us. I sometimes think it is really wonderful. We see things differently. We understand ourselves that much better. And thank God for that. So others see us differently also. It's an opportunity to witness for them. Because if you get a nasty boss that commands everything, the whole office is always under tension. Your colleagues also under tension. But your colleagues may gossip, your colleagues may say a lot of things, but you keep quiet. And they wonder how this guy is so unmoved, you know. Then you realize that we can testify our God is greater. That in difficult situation, I don't need to complain. I just do my work and that's it. An honest day's work for an honest day's pay. And that's it. Okay. I hope it helps you. If you next, tomorrow, you appear at the office and things don't look up, never mind, look to God, okay? If things don't look up, you look up to God. And they will see the love of God in our hearts, the love for people. Alright? What have our understanding of justification teach us? Remember, it is all of God and none of self. Today we look at human efforts trying to reach God. No way. Right? We should be grateful that God's grace is bestowed upon us. God reached down to us. Right? Through Christ Jesus. And Christ paid the penalty for our sins. We conclude with Galatians 2:20 and 21. Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness cometh by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Yes, God's grace bestowed upon us should stir us that our lives will count from here to eternity, to the glory of God and to our own personal blessing. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee that we are unworthy sinners, undone in every sense of the word. We are doomed to walk the pathway that leads to everlasting fire. But Thou, in Thy sovereign will, reveal Thy love, reveal Thy mercies unto us through Christ Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. O Father, we pray, Thou speak to us afresh. Help us to appreciate all the more Thy work of grace in our lives, that now we stand righteous before Thee, now we are accepted in Thy sight, now we stand free from the condemnation of sin, from the bondage of sin, that we might serve the living and true God, and so be our strength and our help. Minister the grace that's so necessary for us to live each day. For Thy grace is sufficient for us. Thy strength is made perfect, even through our weaknesses. And so, Lord, undertake for us, we pray, that we might learn how to accept our Lord in life and how to allow our lives to be made useful for the gospel's sake. And Lord, if any of us are struggling, even in our own personal lives, we pray, Father, Thou will minister to us. that thy word spoken today might enlighten us and grant that grace that's necessary to make our hearts obedient, to bow before thy word and to look to thee for grace, strength and help. So Lord, seal this truth to our hearts. Even as we go through this week, be our strength and our stay. For we commend ourselves to thy gracious hand. In the blessed name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.